What are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. I'm very much enjoying this speedy intro. It kind of hits me sideways because of how long the old intro was. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with Lotus, and we're talking about more Daedric creatures. We're getting really close to the end, Lotus.
I know. We're to the T's.
We're to the T's. There's only so many letters left. That's true. The alphabet has told us that we are nearing the end of the alphabet. So there you go.
If you look ahead in your textbooks, you'll find out that there are actually only 26 total letters.
26 letters. And we're almost done. But hey, thank you for sticking around for this ride, getting through all these Daedric creatures. We have some other ones. I mean, I like to say this all the time. These things are weird. And we've got some other Apocrypha-focused kind of creatures.
A little bit.
And some other things going on. So we're just going to dive right into it. And Lotus, we're starting with the Tome Shell. This is one of the newest Daedric creatures.
It is. And it kind of matches exactly what you would expect from Apocrypha. I'm sort of surprised that this didn't exist before ESO.
Yeah, so if you are not familiar, it is a book with eyes and tentacles that flies around kind of like it's from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That seems a good description, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, kind of. It's weird because if you think of like a hermit crab, but instead of a shell, you have a book.
Yeah, so
you have a tome shell.
Tome shell, like the tome is the shell. I guess that's where it gets.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what we're gonna do, as we normally do. I'm gonna read out some of the details from the UESP about each of these, and then we're gonna go into a little bit more detail. For this one, there isn't a whole lot. Don't worry though. The other ones
are a little more involved.
A little more involved. Yeah.
We've got our battle spire pull this week as well.
Oh yeah, we got some good ones coming. But this is the tome shell up on the screen right now. It looks like a book with eyes and tentacles. That's a pretty simple description. Here's what it says on the UESP. Tome shells are dangerous. Spirits native to Apocrypha that inhabit discarded books, similar to the way hermit crabs inhabit discarded shells. And other things too. If you live in Florida and you see hermit crabs on the beach, which it's a thing, you can find them places. Sometimes they're in like garbage because they're like, this makes a good shell. These are in books. They are mostly harmless but can lash out when threatened. They are considered a type of Daedric vermin. So we've talked about some of these other vermin-like creatures. This one doesn't look like a real world like Nern creature. It's still very Daedric. And their pages are known as feathers and can be used for magical rituals. That's handy.
Yeah.
You have to wonder what's written on those pages. Like, what do you think is actually on? Is this just like some
They're
book?
Floating textbooks.
Yeah.
Textbooks. If you're in college, they just make things super easy because they just hover over with the exact chapters you need.
Nice. Okay. All right. So they're textbooks. But you have to wonder, like, we've spent a lot of time in Apocrypha with the most recent last year of release content for ESO. There are, I don't know how many books. I think somebody should probably go through all of those zones, all the zone and all the little mini dungeons and count all the books and find out.
Yeah,
I bet nobody will. I bet there's a like good 100,000-200,000 books.
Also, I bet nobody could fact check them because if we got one person to do it, that's already one more than I would ever expect.
Yeah, it would take a very long time. But my question here is, are these like the Watchers, which we're going to talk about later as well, but they've now like hidden themselves in books, or like what does the rest of their body look like without the book? And also, did they just pick a random book and just be like, oh, that one fits, I'm going to get in it, like a hermit crab does?
Actually, so Weather Dragon just joined us and mentioned that somebody actually looked inside and it's the ABCs. He's pretty sure it's TES Benefactor who's joined us before.
What?
Which that totally seems like a thing Benefactor would look into.
Oh my God, we're going to have to confirm this. Like, it
That's
looks like
hysterical.
Daedric text.
I now need to actually look into this
here,
too.
If you look at it real zoomed in,
that would not surprise
close.
Me in the least. That is hysterical.
Yeah, it looks just like Daedric text, but things don't look like they're spaced out in words. So it might just be the Daedric alphabet over and over again. That might be a thing. I'm going to have to go in the game and get as close as possible to find out.
I want to just screw around with like zooming in and getting it from different angles, because I that totally seems like a thing that they could do. That's really funny.
Yeah, this didn't occur to me when I was getting ready for the show, but like
to try to like twist it and see if we could get an angle to see what's literally in the book.
Right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I should have thought about this question earlier and just done a little bit of research, but
I can follow up if I can get a view of this, because I have the Tome Shell pet. And if you place them in your house, you can rotate them.
Mm.
So you can rotate it and see if you can read inside the book.
Do you think that's a violation? Would the Tome Shell feel violated? Would he be like, oh, stop looking under my feathers?
Stop looking, because they're called feathers. In my binding.
Stop me at that's enough. Please ask permission first next time.
Yeah, I was going to say you open the book and it just says no. I was like, all right, well, I guess we're done here.
Yeah. All right. So that's Tome Shells. Not a whole lot else to say about them. They show they're floating all over the place in ESO.
New enemy, or not even an enemy. They're not usually an enemy. Passive.
They're passive. They're just like, they're vermin. They're just kind of going about doing their own thing. They don't really care. And they don't show up in any of the other games, just ESO.
They don't. They're one of those additions that makes total sense, and you're surprised it wasn't there before they were added. Like, especially with the Dragonborn DLC, when you're roaming around in Apocrypha, it's like, oh yeah, no, they were just floating pages. They never really went into one of these creatures. These ones totally fit. So it's just like, oh yeah, all right, that makes sense.
Yeah, which makes sense, because with more time, with more games, they've got more time to flesh things out a little bit more. They add more stuff. And I know that drives people crazy with the lore, because they're like, well, it must not be real lore, because if it was, it would have been in Skyrim. And it's like, how many times can we
hear their neck beards growing?
Right. Like, how many times can we do this until it's just like, oh, the only thing that's real is in the design docs of Arena. Like, I mean, come on. Like at some, like you keep pushing the line around. Whatever, it's in the game. It's canon. It's a game thing.
Well, again, it's their story to flesh out. So it's why I would, as long as it tends to have some degree of consistency, I'm usually pretty amused. And if it's not consistent, give me at least a half decent reason why.
Right. And I think the other thing a lot of people forget is, like, if you're playing the games now in 2024, then at some point you're going to be like, oh, well, these games are canon because they're the original set. And then you have the newer games or ESO or whatever. You're like, oh, that's not really canon. But if you jump ahead 10, 15, 20 years, people are going to make the same argument, but they're going to include ESO because they're like, oh, that's one of the older ones. So that, like, we're just going to keep pushing the boundary around, and it's just silly. So why don't we just say, okay, it's in the games. It's canon. Now let's not argue canon, but argue more of like, does it make sense, or is it
right? Yeah, that's why when you get into, people also like to pretend it's like, well, the old games are the like definitive thing. That's why I have trouble where I'm like, get in some of the old games, and some of those spinoffs get real weird.
yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to our second one.
Yeah, speaking of real weird.
Speaking of real, this is your Battle Spire pull for the episode.
Yeah, we're already here.
All right. Vermai are a type of gaunt and sharp-toothed Daedra that serve as dark minions of the lesser Daedric lords. They are aggressive and mindless. I love some of the description in this, so pay attention. And typically attack all who approach. It is said that the Vermai have no thoughts. They don't think at all, and therefore cannot fear, because if you can't think, you can't be afraid of anything, right?
Right.
They are sometimes responded to attempts at communications. They have sometimes responded, but never in any intelligible way. Considered to be one of the most idiotic Daedra. I love that title. Okay.
So before we finish with that thing, one thing that I've brought up a bunch of different times is when you're playing through the Elder Scrolls Legend Battlespire, if your speech is like high enough and stuff like that, you can start conversations with all these weird things that normally in the newer games, they kind of just attack you if they're an enemy. But in that game, you could really kind of talk to pretty much anything, which is weird. Clan Fears would talk, and Spider Daedra would talk to you. Well, Spider Daedra still talk, but Clan Fear is not really a thing. Scamps don't really talk very frequently, type of deal. And I remember trying to get the Vermai to talk to me, and a couple of them were actually passive, but they just kind of went, they like didn't do anything.
Right.
And they just gave you, like, I always play with subtitles, just for myself and others when possible.
Sure.
And I remember several of them were literally just like, its response was just like, dot, dot, dot.
Right. That's not, they're not even able to speak. Like,
this thing's got nothing.
Right. Like you're.
And I just sort of assumed my speech wasn't good enough to draw it out of them. I think they just aren't. I think they just gave me like, I don't overtly want to attack you because you have a high enough speech thing, but I got nothing upstairs. So
yeah, Boots, your corgi is smarter than these.
Oh
things.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you put like a carrot somewhere, he suddenly becomes very smart.
Yeah. So here I'm going to, let's continue with the description because there's still more fun
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there
on this
is
one.
More. I just figured I would add.
Yeah, no, that's a good addition. Those who summon them can control them through pacifying helmets. At some point during the early second era, the prodigal student Faendor of Aegea Rel summoned Vermi through alchemy to serve him out of spite. Nirinth had those same Daedra torture him. Of course, summoning Daedra always turns out bad for the mortals, right?
It's great. I can't imagine what you mean.
Ingasa, a servant of Clavigus.
Ngasta.
Ngasta. Sorry, I messed
yeah,
that up.
A servant. Slowed.
Yeah, a servant of Clavigus Vile summoned Vermi to guard his tower and kept them under control through helmets. The Vermi clan served Zenaida Nakara, aiding Mehrunes Dagon in his invasion of the Battle Spire during the Imperial Simulacrum. Yeah.
So, I think, all right, so. Personal preference, I guess, for whatever you'd want to call this as a personal preference. I think the design from Battlespire is very unsettling. Like, they're really kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I do find it funny that, what's her name, Nakara, does not look anything like these. She's just like a generic, like, seducer style Daedra.
Yeah, yeah. She looks, yeah, like any of the yeah. other intelligent Daedra. Or,
right.
I mean, she's basically a hot booby lady from the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Hot 90s booby.
Battlespire for everything. Yeah. But yeah, the Vermi, like, from Battlespire have, like, a very, like, horror esque type of unsettling look.
Oh yeah, look at the concept art. The concept art in these.
Yeah, I mean, and the concept art is very weird.
Yeah, like those wrist bones are way too far
really
from the fingers.
Messed up.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. But then when you get to what when you were referring to Ngasta trying to protect the like the lower levels of his tower, those are straight up from, so that's a, one of the storylines to the Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard.
Mm-hmm.
And they are weird in a different way.
Yeah. Here, let's look at the Redguard ones. Oh, and also they have the control helmets on.
Yeah. Like, that's what I was about to specifically kind of say is the control helmet ones are really,
because you almost think it's like a beak that's coming out of their forehead, but it's really a helmet that they're wearing.
Yes, they're weird. Very, they've got a very different look. It's much more of a I don't know, one of them looks sort of like a could belong in the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
Art style wise, uh-huh. It's very like stitched together looking from the angle, but for the most part those helmets are what make them very, very strange, just because they're
elongated. They're like
they're elongated. Yeah. It almost looks like a horn coming off the top of it.
Yeah.
And they're just yeah, they've got like a pale coloring to them. They've got yeah, they're
super
they took
weird.
On a very different look, which just they look a little more horror movie-esque, like insanity style horror movie rather than like body horror movie type mm-hmm. of deal, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in chat they're talking about it you know, like Silent Hill nurse vibes.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah, absolutely,
plague doctor.
Totally.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, it's they got a little bit of that going on. Definitely weird. Also the Battlespire close-up of the face, like this
yeah
the first one on the list here,
nice melty skin.
Oh man, they're like elongated foreheads with their ears
yeah,
way up
forehead.
High
I can't tell if it's melted skin or if there's like just rot growing on its face.
Yeah, and the texture on their skin is like blotchy, but then look at their teeth. It's almost like they have all of these rows of like lower teeth that are pushing upward.
Yeah,
into their face.
What is it, H.R. Giger, is he the one who does
yeah,
Alien?
Yeah That's, it is a little
yeah.
alien-esque. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's that type of creep factor going on type of deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're an enemy that honestly I think is really weird, pretty unique looking. I wish they actually used them a little more in the series.
Yeah.
It's just those two games, like, which is interesting. They've never been used in a non-spinoff game.
Yeah.
It's just offshoot games. So, and honestly, the back-to-back offshoot games, which maybe that's why they're like, oh, this is the problem with the series.
I mean, they've done some other like more horror-esque looking Daedra, especially in ESO.
Without a doubt.
You've got like the, I'm not gonna remember their names. You know, the big lanky guys. You see them in Apocrypha sometimes, like the big spooky lanky tall
ones.
Yes,
the new horrors that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're talking about?
Something like
those
that.
Those new big things.
Yeah.
The like horrors, and then also along the same lines of the spindly thingies is the hungers.
The hungers. That's the one I'm thinking of.
I was going to say from
these
from, like,
are
Morrowind
similar.
And stuff like that.
They're similar to the hungers in their design,
which maybe they leaned more into that. Mind terrors. Thank you. That's actually what they were called. It was there's something horrors. Yeah, mind terrors. That's what it was. Thanks, Weather. And yeah, that's just it. It's like when you have like the hungers, very spindly limbs, long snoot thing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Creepy tongue.
Yeah. Almost like they're from like a Stranger Things. They're like a kind of like
Stranger
very
Things-ish. Much. So I wonder if because oftentimes we see either the transformation of a creature into a different creature or it being modified over game to game and over time. Mm-hmm. I wonder if maybe these got phased out more in favor of hungers as they went more in the series.
Maybe. I mean, they can't talk, so it kind of makes writing storylines around them. Like they become fodder enemy. We've talked about fodder
enemies.
Right,
which ESO does generally need and utilize fodder enemies quite a bit. These seem like that'd almost be a pretty good one to scoot back into the series as opposed to needing to make up a new creature type.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they haven't brought the Vermei back in yet.
Yeah. And the little helmets that you could put on them to control them.
Derpy helmets.
What if you had a dungeon where you go find the helmets? You have to fight a bunch of them to get to the helmets. But then once you find the helmets, you can put them on some of them and then they help you fight like the boss of the arena.
Ben, get on this. That's actually could be a really cool mechanic.
That would be really cool.
That
like,
would be really
depending
weird.
On how well your team does for the first half of the dungeon determines how many helmets you get, which means how many that you can bring on. Bring with you
like
into the fight
lot,
at the end.
Actually,
yeah, that could be really cool. And then maybe the boss is easier because you brought five of them instead
of
four or three.
Yeah, because you instead of secrets, you collected more helmets for Vermei.
Yeah. And then you just have to go through them again in order to fight the ones that the rest. But like some of them, you can just be like plunk. You just plunk a helmet on them.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So that's Vermei. We've got two more to get
Vermei.
To. Those are the Vermei. They're super weird and creepy. And just a reminder, if you are listening, most of our listeners are audio listeners. If you want to see these, obviously you can look them up, but you can also look up the video, either the VOD from the Twitch or the Elder Scrolls Lorecast YouTube channel and check out all the videos. But we have to go thank our patrons, so we will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
It's that time. Holiday shopping is here, and I've got something to help you out. Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't see anywhere else. And that's legit. How many different stores can you find exactly the same products and you just are shopping for whoever has the best deal? No. This is a place that has high quality, unique, often handmade or made in the US products by independent artists and small businesses that truly create one of a kind gifts for all sorts of different seasons. And it's the holiday season. Well, get this. I found one that I thought was super cool. Now, my wife loves puzzles. She loves mysteries. She loves escape rooms. They have murder mystery jigsaw puzzles where you use the puzzle to solve the mystery. There's a few of these, and I think I might pick up the clairvoyant convention one. I think she'll love it. And that's just one example. They've got gifts for moms and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. There's something here for everybody on your gift list. And they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/scrollslore. That's uncommongoods.com/scrollslore for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Dude, we are so lucky that we got Wes to do these voice things.
I know, they're amazing. Our
bumpers. They're so good.
They're so good.
This is the middle of the show. This is where we get to thank our patrons for being so awesome and keeping the show going. Thank you so much. And welcome to our newest patrons, Monkey Man One and Nick. I also have to wonder about Monkey Man One's name, because that assumes that there is more than one Monkey Man. So this must mm-hmm. be a thing. And they were the first. A
long line of Monkey Men.
Yeah, they must just be the first in many. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for being here.
First of his name.
First of his name. Monkey Man 1, first of his name. And also just Nick. That one's super simple. We rarely just get somebody's like first name, you know? But thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. And I hope you're enjoying the benefits of the Patreon. You can get ad-free episodes. You get episodes early. You can get t-shirts and stickers. You can join us on patron chats. We've got a patron chat coming up in 2 weeks on the 29th. So 2 weeks from now, that's something you can get on. And there's still plenty of time to sign up over at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Also, you can get shout outs like our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Kirasi, and Sheogorath Sweetroll. Thank you so much for your support. You get shout outs every week. And we have a new review. This new review came in from somebody you might recognize. This one says, awesome show with awesome hosts from Ben of Temeria.
Hey, I think I know who Ben of Temeria might be. Temeria. He maybe has been on the show once or twice or a dozen times.
He's been around for a while. Yeah, he's been on the show. He does his own shows on the Robots Radio Network. You should go check out the stuff that he's doing. There's lots of cool stuff. Join us on the Discord. Look at robotsradio.net.
Twitch.
Find all the links. Go check out Ben of Temeria. But Ben writes, hey, Tom and Lotus, realize I never gave this show a review, LOL. This show is amazing for anyone who loves the Elder Scrolls series. Tom and Lotus break down the lore of the series very well for anyone who hasn't looked too deeply into the world. Keep up with the awesome content and stay safe in Tamriel. Thanks, Ben. Ben does
appreciate
lots of cool
you,
stuff.
Ben.
Yeah, lots of just he's a co-host on the Cyberpunk Lorecast. He does. I'm gonna have a brain fart here. Let me look through the list.
Wizarding World
Lorecast. Wizarding World. That was the other one that was on the tip of my brain.
There's a Star Wars one.
Yes, that one is called. I'm looking this up as we go. Holocron Histories. That's the name of that one.
Holocron Histories. Yeah. I was like, it's got a better name than the Star Wars one.
Yeah, it's not just the Star Wars one. Right, right. Yeah, so there's lots of shows on the network and they all get jumbled up in my brain. But go check out that stuff if you're interested. And thank you, Ben, for the review. Also, if you'd like to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode of the show. We also appreciate it if you take the time to give us a 5-star rating on Spotify or whatever podcast you're listening to this on. Sharing with your friends, doing all of that stuff, or joining us on the Twitch, being part of the live audience. It's always fun to have people commenting and stuff on here. So thanks for being here. Thanks for your support. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, we're back. And Lotus, I think I found another one that's going to be one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've reached W for Watchers.
Watchers. Watchers are so freaking cool. Look at these guys. Look at these little buddies, little eyeballs with tentacles. I love the Watchers. I think they're wonderful.
So Watchers are really neat. They're like, I mean, I know these aren't actually not super unique to the Elder Scrolls.
They're they're basically beholders.
That's what I was going to say. Even I know
kind of revised beholders from Dungeons and Dragons. Right.
Somebody showed me that. I was like, oh yeah, they're just whatever that thing is. And they're like, yeah, it's a beholder. I was like, okay, yeah, they're that. But these things are pretty neat, actually. Most of them seem a little less fierce and bloodthirsty than beholders, from what I understand.
But yes, beholders in Dungeons and Dragons are very, very dangerous. They're very high level enemies, if I'm recalling correctly. I'm sure somebody can mm-hmm. correct me on this. It's been a while. But these, not so much.
No, and I mean, there are definitely varying sizes of them, and they can, like, oftentimes you will fight them as, like, they'll be gatekeepers and stuff like that. So it's totally like a thing where they're not necessarily pushovers. But they're all over the place. Like, some of them are huge and, you know, relatively threatening with, you know, magicka powers and stuff like that. Other ones are tiny and
Cute little baby guys, little watchlings. Yeah,
and some of them speak. Like there's a decent amount of them that are there that talk.
I don't know where they talk out of because they don't have mouths.
They don't have mouths, which is weird. I assume they just use the little flappy fin things and they just
like a hand puppet.
Yeah,
that's like where they talk. Hello, everybody.
No further thought on that. Needed.
I think maybe their eyelids blink and that's how they talk, like their eyelids are their mouth. That would be disgusting.
All right.
It's not how they're animated. It's just in my brain how it works.
I also feel like that would be a very unpleasant sound effect of all the wet smack.
I mean, our mouths are wet. I don't know. My mouth has spit in it. Yeah. Like,
right? I did
like,
just drink water too. So,
like,
you know what? I don't want to think any more about this.
About wet parts of our bodies. All right, cool. All right, watchers.
Moving on to watchers.
Moving on. All right, here's what the UESP says. Watchers, also called Doom Truths, cool name, are flying tentacled Daedra with a large eye in the center of their body. Watchers are quite nimble and can shoot beams of energy from their large eye. They are knowledge gatherers and minions found in the service of Hermaeus Mora, modeled after the prince's appearance. Yeah, they're like little Hermaeus Moras that aren't as gross, I guess.
Less tentacles, less eyes.
And less like black, ooey, gooey.
Yeah, less evil mist.
Mist goop around them.
Yeah.
They may be the most intelligent of the Daedra, possibly receiving ranks in a hierarchy. However, they are known to serve other Daedric princes such as Moleg Bal and Vermina. Locking eyes with a watcher is dangerous. A mortal soul can be eaten away if one stares too long into their large central eye. Everything in Apocrypha is dangerous if you look at it too much. Some watchers have a necrotic gaze, causing the skin on a mortal's face to tear away if they stare too long. Ugh. They are able to separate the lies from the truth, which comes in handy to Mephala, adding to her powers of deception. This is the cute part. The term pocket watcher refers to watchers that are far smaller in size than the average watcher. These are occasionally kept as pets by some warlocks. Another term used to describe small watchers is watchling. They are no bigger than a human's fist and are not the offspring of watchers. So it's not like they're baby ones. They're just smaller.
Right.
They're described as runts of their kind and curiosities as opposed to terrors. It is unknown whether they keep their form forever or eventually transform into the larger versions. We don't know. Daedra are weird. They can change forms. They do weird stuff. It goes on. It says most watchers, particularly those in service to Mora, are varying shades of green with orange or cloudy eyes. The watchers that serve Moleg Bal are typically gray with blue eyes. You would assume they'd be red, but they're not. Amaranthine pocket watchers are vibrantly hued white / purple watchers with purple eyes that once inhabited the ruins of Zaintararis. Did I say that right? Until an unfortunate explosion set them free, giving their color and origin. Sheogorath is suspected to hold some sway over them. Powerful watchers can also be red with green eyes. Dagonic watchers serves Mehrunes Dagon and are red. That makes sense. They're red for him, but not the other one, not Moleg Bal. In appearance to yellow eyes and nerves, similar in color to lava, and shoot searing beams of lava out of their eyes. Those in service to Mephala are black with red eyes and highlights. So they come in lots of different colors. They serve lots of different Daedric princes. And some of them get really big and are kind of gross. How do you feel about that?
Okay. So, yeah, they are neat. And they are like little mini Moras. For some reason to me, they look more like ocean creatures than like...
It's the tentacles. They've got this like squiddy octopus.
Right.
Thing
they
going
have
on.
Like they definitely look very squiddy, which is interesting to just have as like an addition. Also, one thing, the Doom Truth, Blinding Vision was curious about Doom Truths. Apparently, I actually looked that up while you were reading through that. Mm-hmm. It's apparently related to the Cypher's Eye Pocket Watcher pet. Is something related to the name, according to the UESP. Huh. So I'm not entirely sure. It seems like it might be the name of the little guy. So,
Weird. Like it's like one little itty bitty detail that was.
Yeah, that seems
on
like
here.
A very specific detail, but that mm-hmm. And it is Doom Truths.
Doom Truth. Yeah. T-R-U-T-H.
So that seems to be the reference to that name. Yeah, I don't know. They're weird. I definitely like them because I definitely, you know, have mentioned how much I enjoy the Hermaeus Mora Apocrypha theme and all of that. So they definitely fit in, but I enjoy the ones that talk personally. Normally when things are overly humanoid, sometimes I don't care for them as much,
or like humanized, it's a weird creature that has nothing, it doesn't look at all like a human, it acts human. Weird, or yeah,
I really liked the catalogers. One of them is called Scroot, great character. Absolutely loved that character. Yeah.
Oh no, champion. Now this other thing's happened. What are we going to do about that?
Right.
Like there's because, this like attitude.
At the same
thing.
Time, yeah. They were reading the threads of fate. So they sort of knew what was coming, but at the same time, they're like, ugh, this is ruining everything. I need you to fix this so that this thread of fate doesn't break. But they also at the same time know what's happening.
Right.
So it's like,
yeah, they were like a like an employee who hasn't been given all the details about what's going on. Right.
Yeah.
That's basically what's going on is I think it's a she. I mean, it's a female voice, but I think it's a she says things like, well, I mean, I was just working and doing what I was supposed to do, but you seem to be the chosen one from, from big guy. You know, so I guess we're just going to go with it because he seems to trust you, but he didn't tell me anything about what was going on. Like there's that kind of thing going. Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing, which actually I brought it up and then it's referenced on the UESP. So I think we should really go into this as I don't know if you scroll all the way down. The Beholder reference we made, they were originally in the concepts, the early build of Arena, but needed to be taken out for copyright infringement.
Yeah, well, I mean, Arena was basically a D&D session.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It started as a D&D
Online
session.
Became way more unique over time. And a lot of the stuff, like playing through Arena, man, like you run into some stuff that's like, this is just a location from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
What is this?
From what I understand, for the bits of things I've seen about like the creation of the series and things like that, Arena started out as a D&D session. Like Tamriel was a home-baked D&D world. And they were like, well, how do we turn this into a video game? And it goes, but you look at the mechanics. We talked about this before, the dice roll mechanics of being able to hit things.
Completely.
Yeah.
It uses the FACO system, which people literally needed to teach me in chat what that was, because I was like, what the hell? I keep putting on this better armor. My armor is going down. They're like, no, that's good.
That's good.
Like,
that's what? Good. The lower number means higher
the
armor.
The lower number is better.
Yeah.
But so it's interesting. I actually did not know that little thing. And they've got like a picture of it being all hideous.
Here, check this out. The Beholder in Arena. I mean, this is basically a Beholder. I mean, it's
just straight
it's
up
a blob.
We were really not even kidding around with how on brand that was.
But it's a Beholder. It has a mouth, which means it's not a Watcher. It's a Beholder.
It's just straight up a Beholder.
And
yeah, so that was kind of an interesting little tidbit that I scrolled down. I was like, I didn't know that.
Also,
there you go.
Here, Lotus. So we've got a variety of these different things, right? So like if we look on the screen right now, you've got like this nice looking red one with a green eye, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a variety. Oh, wait, hold on. That's different stuff. Anyway, there's this one, which is the Dagonic one. And it looks like, I mean, either that's really patchy skin or it looks like the skin was like flayed off of it.
Yeah, he needs to moisturize.
There's a that one's a little
and maybe get some skin grafts.
Yeah, that one seems like it's been in had some problems.
Yeah, that one's been charred a little bit.
Yeah. All right, so that's
they come in a lot of varieties.
Yeah, lots of varieties. I think these are really cool. I like that they've moved away from the Beholder thing.
The
little
them
ones are cute.
Definitely more unique.
Right. You can have pets in ESO. Like I love having my little squiddy guy follow me around. Mm-hmm. They even like do little spins in the air, you know, like they'll flip over and like they're cool. They're cool little creatures. And they are very outside from being influenced like from Beholders and D&D. They also are generally very unique because they don't look like real world creatures so much as they look like something that's alien. And that's pretty cool. So that's Watchers and Watchlings. Let's move on to our last one, the Winged Twilight. You've probably seen this in ESO because you know, if you're a sorcerer, you probably have one flying around with you all the time. But
one of the base game classes has this as a summon.
Yeah, they're kind of around all the time, and some people don't like that because they block your view or whatever. Because they're like, it would also be weird to just be running around all of these cities with Daedra just following you all the time. Is a little weird, but it's how they designed the character, and it makes sense because like. Those kinds of characters, like if you're a wizard in Elder Scrolls and you want to summon Daedra to work for you, that's a normal thing for them. So it makes sense. But here's what the UESP says. It says winged Twilights are intelligent winged Daedra with claw-like limbs, black horns, and spiked tails. They can have blue or purple skin, and their eyes can be red or blue. Their bodies are dappled with scales. They are known to operate as servants and messengers of Azura. In appearance, they have a beautiful feminine form similar to that of harpies with bat-like wings, though the feminine aspects of the winged Twilight are more ravishing, in quotes, and their long, sharp, hooked tails are immeasurably more deadly. When working together, they follow a matriarch. Winged Twilights are also resistant to fire, poison, and shock, and can reflect spells. Winged Twilights are not short on cunning. They stalk their prey, waiting for an opportunity to take it down with their swift strikes. They swing their barbed tails to injure their foes while airborne. Some winged Twilights wield shock spells in battle. They can also shriek at their prey to incapacitate it. Their screams are deafening, and those caught in front of a winged Twilight as it shrieks will become stunned and confused. Their talons are used to tear flesh as well as grip rocks, branches, and other vantage points. It goes on some more. There's clearly some of these are in working for Mehrunes Dagon and Molag Bal and Nocturnal and a bunch of other people and princes and all Daedra of that.
Daedra for hire, like many of the others.
Yeah, but these have a very familiar kind of look to them. Like they've got the harpy-esque kind of thing, a female humanoid body with big wings and talons, and like even their feet look like they could like pick things up, almost like their talons from like a hawk or an eagle.
Yep,
something like that. What do you think about these, Lotus?
So I like the fact these have been around for a while. Obviously, we've seen them in Morrowind and Elder Scrolls Online and the Elder Scrolls Legends. But it is interesting because you mentioned the harpy part where they do resemble, you know, like a harpy, like a more demonic harpy thing instead of like a potentially realistic fake creature, like fantasy creature type of thing. And the other thing is, I feel like talking about evolutions from game to game, we have the old form of some of the types of the seducers from like Battlespire and stuff like that. Some of them had like these wing things and the claw hands. And it's like, it seemed like they almost got put in a different direction because the seducers now, when we had covered the dark seducers, they almost became like battle knights and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it seems like the bestial part of them sort of almost morphed into what the winged Twilight became.
Right. Like the seducers were kind of like a proto version of both of them. And they took aspects and kind of split them off in different
directions. Split them into two different creatures as time progressed, which is pretty neat. And I think they have a pretty cool model. Like they've got a pretty cool design. They're relatively unique. And I love their usefulness in Elder Scrolls Online as a healing skill, because if you have one of the versions, it is great for keeping you alive and your friends. So my sorcerer is always running one of these things.
Yeah. Thanks, Winged Twilight.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
That's a feature you don't think about much with creatures like this that are, you know, horrific monster things like.
But again, healing? If you summon them, they kind of do your bidding. So it's like, well, OK, it's. As long as you don't hand him a soul gem willingly, you should be good to go.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah. Yeah. Whenever summoning Daedra, be very careful about your placement of soul gems.
Yeah.
And what things you allow them to do.
But,
yeah.
Right. So, but, no, I think these are another good addition to the series. They seem like they would probably be prone to, well, we had mentioned that they're in service to several different Daedric princes. For some reason, I get the vibe with these things that they might be prone to selling their service to different Daedric princes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't. It mentions the ties to Azura and stuff like that, but I don't know. It seems like much like Atronox, where you can kind of see them in anybody's service. These ones always just didn't strike me as having a strong allegiance pull necessarily.
Right. They don't have the problem that the Vermi seem to have in that they are just idiots. Like, yeah, they seem intelligent enough to do your bidding, to follow instructions, those kinds of things. But they also don't seem, you know, like the Zivali, who we'll probably cover next week, or like some sure. of these other Daedric races that are just like superior to everyone and everything.
Right.
And
right.
Like maybe if you've bound them magically, they'll do your bidding, but they're going to tell you exactly what they think about how you're such a big idiot, you know, like,
yeah. And given the chance, I will kill you. It's like, oh, cool. Thanks. Right. I need to remember to sleep with one eye on you.
Right. Right. All right. All right. I'll tie your shoes again, but. Given the chance, yeah. I'm lopping your feet off and eating them.
Right.
Like, okay, cool.
You could just bend over real quick so I could tie them to your throat. Like, right. No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. No.
No.
Death is permanent. Death is permanent for us creatures that are not Daedra. They look pretty cool. I don't know. Okay, so getting into the designs of these things, the ESO designs are fine. Like, I don't have any problems yep. with them. They're fine, but they are also some of the earliest designed creatures in the series because they like you said,
are.
They were designed for going around with sorcerers. But if you look at like the art for like Legends,
The art for Legends is always, if you ever so are good. Curious if something was in Legends, look it up. It's, oh my God, the artwork to the Elder Scrolls Legends card game is just gorgeous.
Yeah, like they go from being like this kind of the summoned creature and it's got a big long tail and a, you know, female-esque body and some wings, like in ESO, to like them in Legends, like the details, the amount of the way the scales on the skin look, and they like some of them are pointy and they stick up, and then you've got like the glowing eyes, they've got then like the wings have holes in them, like they've been in combat, and there's I don't know, they just look so much more formidable. And part of that, I think, is the way that even the way they're animated in ESO, because they're meant to just kind of sit there and float.
Yeah, they
next
hover.
To you, they just kind of hover and float. You don't ever see them like those wings. Those are big wings. Like, can you imagine them dive bombing their enemies and things like that? Like,
right.
That actually would be terrifying.
Into things with those claws.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if there was a dungeon where these things were like above you and then they dove down on your party and then maybe could pick up people and then drop them or something, like, oh, my God. That would be way more scary. And then casting spells at you and those kinds of things. I don't think we've gotten anything like that.
Right.
So. Yeah,
they're somewhat limited in Elder Scrolls Online because, to your point, they were one of the initial things, and also it's something you control as well as fight because they are one of the things you can summon.
Right. Yeah, I would love to see more of the bestial side of them and less of the personified humanesque kind of side.
Sure.
You know, which means not just being upright and floating next to you. It would mean like flying through the air and like a bird of prey, you know, that kind of thing. That would be really cool. So that's a Wing Twilight, and that's what we know about them. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. We only have a few more Daedra. I think we've got one more episode of Daedra Creatures, which we'll get to next week. So make sure you are with us. You come back for that, and we'll be here for that episode. And then we're doing our patron episode, our patron chats. Maybe we'll talk about some of our favorite Daedra, some of like which of these creatures. Maybe we'll do like a finale with our patrons. That could be cool. So Lotus, you have anything else going on that you want to share? I know you've got some big news.
Yeah. Things kind of all aligned, much to my surprise. And it looks like I will be going to the 10th anniversary of Elder Scrolls Online in Amsterdam. So I guess if you're there, I'll be there too, which I had not really advertised or talked about. A lot of people asked if I was going, and my answer up until literally last night was no.
So, I mean, it's an expensive trip. I mean, you don't live in Europe.
I see, exactly. So yeah, just a lot of things kind of lined up for me where it looks like now I am going. So I am really excited for that.
Nice. I actually got the chance to go to Amsterdam this summer because my wife had a...
Yes, I was going to say, I remember you mentioning that. You're like, oh God, I don't know if I have it in me to go back.
She had a big a week-long work thing, and then I headed over afterwards. And it was, I mean, it's a really cool city. Like there's like... the biking, the everybody bikes around the city, like it's so walkable. There's some cool places to go see. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a fun time.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Obviously excited for the event as well, and getting to see a bunch of people that I've either never met or have been seen in a while. Our big plan is to do the first ever in-person episode of Tales of Tamriel, because it'll be the first time I ever actually meet Ark after 6.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's in Turkey and you're in the U.S. That's about as close as you can get to halfway to each other, yeah, without being in the middle of the Atlantic.
When we looked it up, it was 7,358 miles from my address to his address when we Google mapped it or whatever. Very, very excited for that. So if you're going to be there at the event, say hi.
Yeah, go say hi to Lotus. Go give him a hug. Give him a hug from behind, so it's very creepy.
It's totally not me panicking and swinging.
What is going on?
Am I being hugged? What's happening?
What's happening? Oh, you're just giving me a hug. Okay.
Am I currently being robbed? But that's
there's nothing like being in a foreign city and getting accosted out of nowhere.
Oh my God, yeah, when we were in Paris and they're like, yep, watch out for pickpockets. I'm like, oh man. So at that point, I was just like assuming everybody was just trying to rob us.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to disguise the fact that you're a foreigner people are going to be like, look at that American.
Also, like, I'm going to say five words and people are like, okay, what accent is that?
right. yeah, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, but it should be fun. So I wouldn't sweat it too much. Awesome, man. Well, I hope you enjoy it, and you should go check out Tales of Tamriel. They're always talking about Elder Scrolls stuff, so awesome show, check out. Also, you can check out the rest of my shows, robotsradio.net. I do a bunch of lore shows about Elder Scrolls and Fallout and Lord of the Rings and a bunch of other things. Plus, we have a bunch of other shows like Ben of Temeria's other shows on the network. So lots of other hosts, lots of great content. If you're looking for more stuff, go check that out. And thank you for being here, and stay safe for the next week until we finish up the Daedra. And try not to talk to any Vermi for the next week.
It's fine. Just be like the Vermi and keep your brain nice and empty until next show.
Yeah. So stay safe out there. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.